Tomorrow, we're going to be starting 21 days of prayer and fasting. What a great way to start off your year. Maybe you're feeling sluggish. Maybe you're feeling hard to get going. Well, we've got a 21-day plan for you that's going to make you clean. And it's called fasting, giving up food, which is the perfect way to lose some weight, but also to spend time with God. You've never done it before, clearly. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. And to celebrate that, to do that, we've prepared these booklets for 21 days where it's a devotional. As a church community, doing it together, we've got our individual relationship with Jesus, but also a corporate prayer together every single day, praying for the same things and allowing God to speak to us. And I'll speak a little bit more about this at the end of my sermon, but I just want to encourage you, take one of these on your way out. Also, check out our website on Facebook and Instagram daily as we'll be sharing with you some prayer focuses and some devotionals also to help you. Here's my boy, Levi, coming in with his dinosaur. Hello, Levi. You going to listen to your daddy preach? He always tells me, you're the best preacher, daddy. We listened to me preach in the car. No, I'm joking. We did once. And he says, you're the best, daddy. I said, thank you, son. Anyway, aside from that, and our Connect groups start back also. So if you're interested in leading a Connect group, it's something that you're interested in, it's a small group of people, between 6 and 10 people, meeting once a week in the community for 6 weeks. Please come to speak to me after the service, or also come and speak to Rosie, who's leading worship today, and we'd love to chat with you about that. But today we're starting a series called First. And really, it's asking the question, who is first in your life? Who is first in your life? We celebrate first. First is important to us with our spouse. Maybe we reminisce about our first date or our first kiss. Or if you were really good, your first kiss on your first date. If very, very lucky. Also with our kids, we remember the time that we first saw them, the emotions we felt. We were the first time that they walked, first time they talked, first time they got a tooth, first time that we got a good night's sleep, probably 10, 12 years later. But we celebrate first memories in our lives, first job, first car, first time we went to school, first exam, first time we made it through an exam. What happens first is great meaning for us, and often first represents the best in life and in the world. First is defined as that thing that comes above all else in time or in order. It's the foremost in importance. It's the highest or the most prominent part in our life. And that question, that who is first in our life and who should be first? Is it to be our spouse, our kids, ourselves, our career? Who does God say should be first in our life? What does the Bible say about who should be first in our life? And to look at answering that question, we're going to dive into God's word today, and we're going to look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And the book of Proverbs is found right in the dead center of your Bible. It's also in the Old Testament, and it's known as a book of wisdom. That when we are seeking God's wisdom for life, we can turn to his book, in this book of Proverbs. And it's written by a man named Solomon. Solomon was known as the greatest man who ever lived, of course, aside from Jesus. And Solomon is writing these Proverbs, and particularly Proverbs chapter 3, as a father writing to his son. And really, he's repeating the words that were spoken to him from his father, King David, said to him when he was a young man. And he writes in verse 1, he begins, he says, "My son, never forget the things I've taught you. If you want a long and satisfying life." Now, who doesn't want a long and satisfying life? If you want a life of fulfillment, if you want a contented life, if you want a long and satisfying life, he says this, "Closely follow my instructions. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep in your heart." In other words, don't forget them. Remember them. Keep coming back to them time and time and time again. "If you want favor with both God and man, and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself." Maybe you're like, I need to hear that right now. I need to be reminded of that. Stop trusting myself. Stop being the only voice that is the voice of authority in my life. But trust the Lord completely. In everything you do, put God first. Who should be first? Put God first, and he will direct you, he will guide you, he will lead you, and he will crown your efforts with success. Today, I want to talk to you about the key to contentment. The key to contentment. More than ever, we have become consumed by consumerism. We've been so caught up in consuming in order to be content, in order to feel contented, to have that sense of contentment, to reach, strive for, strain contentment. This Christmas, as we were getting ready as a family, preparing for Christmas like so many others, and Christmas Day, and we decided to bravely venture out on Christmas Eve and go to the shopping center just to waste some time, but also just to see what was going on, and, you know, imagining that the place was going to be pretty empty, and surprised to find out, like every other day for the month of December, the shopping center was yet packed again. And as we got in there, we seen the place was packed. Now, usually, traditionally, especially in Ireland, on Christmas Eve, it's usually all the fellas going out and buying their gifts, like myself. Who bought their gift on Christmas Eve? Does anyone want to own up to that? Yeah, okay, a few people, actually. But things have changed. Not only is it the fellas, like, everyone was out getting a last-minute gift or getting their Christmas clothes. I don't know. I'm originally from Kildare, been living in Dublin now for about 3.5 years, and I discovered, especially when I married my wife who's from Dublin, that you got to get your Christmas clothes. Anyone understand? You got to get your Christmas clothes, you got to get your Easter clothes, and if you're going on holidays, you got to get your airplane clothes. It's really important. And so people were in it. They're getting the last minute gifts, and the place was packed and full. And I went a few days later to actually go and spend some time with my son. And as it was his birthday, and I found out the shops were packed again, not just leading up to Christmas, now for the Christmas sales. And then into New Year's, you got the New Year's sales. And then you got the clearance, the further clearance, the further clearance. And we're finally going out of business clearance, liquidation clearance, to find out that they're still in business the following week later. And we got so many things. And it's just, it's madness. Caught up in this consumerism. And I don't know about you, but do you ever stand back when you're in this crowded shopping center or crowded shop and just wonder to yourself, have we all gone mad? Like, have we gone mad, as we're caught up in this vicious cycle. When I just get this, now there's a new thing. Now I got more and more and more, as we're consumed with consuming in order to be content. And it is this innate desire in each and every one of us. Everyone has this. It's not only embedded in the fabric of our society, it's embedded in the fabric of us as human beings. Our consumeristic culture is one that's motivated by a search for contentment. We can not only try and search for it in things, we try and search for it in relationships, in people, in food, in travel, in clothes, in sport, in hobbies, in the latest and trendiest thing, and with this hope and this desire that maybe if I find this, if I reach this, if I buy this, if I purchase this, if I meet him, if I meet her, maybe one day I will have contentment in my life. And more now than ever, marketing companies and branding companies are convincing us to purchase things that we don't even need. We just moved house this week, and the amount of things that we had to throw out, because, like, how did we even get that? It just happens without you knowing it. Is you buy things without you needing it, and because they understand our psychological and physiological need to be content, to fill that void, to feel that sense of fulfillment and contentment. And marketing companies, back in the late 80s, there was a research done where worldwide in the late 80s, in 1 year, there was an estimated $100 million spent worldwide in order to market to children. This last year in 2018, that estimation has rose from $100 million to $30 billion was spent in 2018 in order to market to children to buy their product, to sell us the promise that this will make you happy. And why they reach kids is because they understand if they can get children at such a young age, not only do they convince their parents, as my kid is so good at doing, and convincing them to buy the greatest toy, but also they're able to make them loyal to that brand. But what it does is, at such a young age, is it creates in us a discontent generation. Because ultimately, those things, those purchase, that item that we buy never makes us feel content. And so we're in even greater into the search for contentment. Now, we must understand, some of us that are older in the room say, yes, this generation is terrible. It's bad. They're caught up in it. But it's actually not a new phenomenon. This is something that goes right back to the beginning of the ages, the beginning of earth. When we look at Genesis, the book of Genesis, we've seen that right in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve weren't content with all that God had given them. They had everything they could ever desire, ever dream of, and yet they still weren't content. Because they wanted more, the result was they ended up having less than what they had. What happens to so many of us? We're living in this vicious cycle of contentment, search for contentment, we end up with less than we have because we search so much for it, we lose sight of what we have. And in this day and age, it's just become more heightened. It's happening to us at an earlier age on a larger scale. And we live in an instant age of instant gratification where we can get what we want whenever we want, whether it's through online shopping, whether it's through social media, or as simple things as fast food. It's convenient consumerism with the promise of making us feel content, but we never reach that sense of contentment. Now you're like, thanks so much for that, Sean. That is really encouraging. The question we need to ask is, so what do we do? Do we move to the country? Move far away from it all. Take up the Amish community. Break off the consumeristic thing. Shut off our world to what's going on around us. No, of course not. You know, what do we do? What do we do in order to reach contentment, to have contentment, to break off that consumeristic need, to raise our children up in order to be content? Well, Proverbs chapter 3 is giving us the answers, giving us the key to contentment. Solomon outlines, he says, the key to live a long and satisfying life. The key to live a life of favor with both God and man, a reputation for good judgment and common sense. A life that is directed by God where he crowns our efforts with success. You see, the key to contentment is to put God first. The key to contentment is found in putting God first. To trust him completely. You see, when we put ourselves first, we fail. We only fall deeper into the depths of dissatisfaction and discontentment. When Sean is first, Sean is going to end up brokenhearted. When we are first, we will end up brokenhearted. But when God is first, when he is first in everything we do, everything we go after, everything we go for in life, he says that he will direct us and crown our efforts with success, that he pours out favor on our lives so that we may live a life that is satisfied, so that we may live a contented life. The key to contentment is found in putting God first. Now you may be like, that is the most simplest thing. That's kind of silly. Like, it's naive to think that if that was the only thing that would make me feel content, but it is the truth that's found in God's word, that if we would apply it and practice it today, we'd find contentment found in Jesus Christ. We'd find contentment in our church, in our community, in our city, and in our nation, raising up the next generation to say, yeah, of course, enjoy good things. Enjoy purchasing. I like to wear good clothes. I like to buy good things. Enjoy those things. But they're not the things in order to make us feel contented. I'm content because I'm found in Jesus. God is first in my life. Therefore, everything else is bonus. Everything else can be added extra. So when we say that and we look at that, the question we ask is, where do we start? You know, how do we do this? How do we apply this in our life? Well, Solomon writes in chapter 3, verse 5, he says something that sounds simple, but is so wise. He says, trust the Lord completely, wholeheartedly, every time in everything that you do. Don't ever trust yourself. The NIV says it like this: trust in the Lord your God and lean not on your own understanding. And so in verses 1 to 4, he's asking the question, if you want to live a life of contentment, and that's so key, it begins with that. If you want, see, you got to make the decision. I want to live a life of contentment. I want to live a long and satisfied life. The NIV says it like this: a life full of peace and prosperity. A reputable life that has favor with both God and man. It says, if you want. See, we need to make the decision. Do you want to? As I was teaching my son Levi this week as we were driving to school, tell him about the blind man and Jesus. And Jesus is walking around the dusty roads and he sees a blind man. The blind man cries out for Jesus to heal him. And Jesus goes to the blind man and what does he say to him? He says, do you want to be healed? What is it you want? He says, I want to see. Now, that would seem obvious to us, wouldn't it? Of course he wants to see. He's blind. What else would he want? But what Jesus wants to get the man to do and for each of us to do is to be able to speak exactly what we want, to be focused on it. This is what I want. When you ask for 2019, what is it you want? What is it you want? For the Lord says, ask and you will receive. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Jeremiah 29:13 says, the Lord says, seek me with all your heart and you will find me. You see, so many of us, we're searching for what we want and other things rather than coming to God and say, God, this is what I want. And when it's in line what he wants for you, when it's something that, you know, is going to bring you goodness and bring God glory, it says that he will give us our heart's desire. He gives our want, but it begins with, what is it you want? If you want, it says, all these things that we're searching for in life, don't ever trust yourself. Trust the Lord completely. Now, why should we trust? Well, because the Lord, it's the Lord that promises all these things. All these things for that we're looking for, the Lord says that he will give it to those who follow him, who trust in him. But here's the thing. The Lord promises us what he has for us in life, but he doesn't give it to us immediately. He says, you will receive these things, but first you need to trust the Lord completely. Now, why is that? Because if it wasn't for us to trust the Lord completely and God was just to be able to give us what we want, there would, in a way, be no need for God, would there? If we were able to just get what we want when we want, well, why need God? I don't need him. I can get what I want when I want. And as I was thinking about this, why would God set up our lives that way? It's because it's this. He wants us to understand that he wants us more than we want those things. And when we realize that I want God more than I want those things, all of these things are added extra. God wants us to realize that he is the only one in our life that should be first and foremost. And what he often does, and maybe you are in the midst of this, maybe you've come out of this, or you're about to go into it, he brings us to a place in our life where we are at the depths of despair. Where we can't turn to anything else. Life, you know, you're ever at the place where it can't get any worse. And we come to a place where we realize, God, you are everything. Many of us, that's the place in where we give our life to Jesus because we couldn't do it anymore. We couldn't lead our life anymore. We were only leading towards failure, but God will lead us towards a place of favor. And what we need to come to is come to this realization that I need to trust in the Lord completely. So that means this. That means that you need to trust him when life isn't working out the way you thought it was going to work out. The Message translation says, verse 6 like this. It says, don't try to figure out everything on your own. Now, if we were to be honest, how many of us spend our days doing this? Trying to figure life out. Trying to figure it all out. And just when you have one area of your life figured out, life goes AWOL and you're back to square one, scratching your head going, what? Just when I thought I had things sorted, just when I thought I had things understood, figured out, sorted in my mind. Maybe you enter this year believing that in 2019, things are going to be different. Things are going to change. Oh, can't wait. 2019, everything's going to change. I'm going to get fit. I'm going to get healthier. I'm going to look better. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to smell better. Everything is going to change. We're only 12 days into it. This is the 13th day, and already you realized things didn't change. I'm the same old me. This is the same old day, the same old year. I'm facing the same old trials. The calendar didn't do its job. Everything was supposed to change in 2019, the 1st of January. But what we need to realize, Change doesn't happen on the outside. Change doesn't happen when the clock strikes midnight and the calendar year changes. Change happens on the inside. Change happens from the inside out. Change happens when we give God everything. We place Him first. And what we begin to see is we begin to see change. Because have you ever found this? That this things are going to change. But what you realize is things don't change. I change and I change things. And as I change from the inside out, my perspective, my posture begins to change around me. And I face the same trials, I face the same circumstances, the same temptations. But now I change. God doesn't say when you give you your life, He's going to take away your trials. He says, I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you what you need in order to go through those trials. I'm going to protect you and provide you, but I'm not going to remove those things from your life. You're going to go through it in 2019, but you're going to go through it with Him. And you will be stronger, greater, better, because you're found in Jesus and you're being changed from the inside out. Amen? And trusting the Lord completely is this. Though I do not see the change happening just yet, I'm going to continue to trust in Him. Though His promises have not yet come to pass, though I'm not seeing the results just right now, though I'm not seeing those things that I've asked for and hoped for and desired for, though I haven't seen that yet, I will trust the Lord completely. I'll be faithful in the work that He's doing in me because I'll believe that His work will come to completion. I will trust the Lord completely because I believe that what He started, He will finish. Are you with me this morning? Come on, let's just put our hands together. In our search for change, in our search for that desire, in our search for going after that search for contentment, which, come on, we have to be honest, that's what we're looking for. That's what we want in our search. He says, trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself in everything you do. And this is important. Because what you realize, that when you give your life to Jesus and you become a Christian, people kind of have this dichotomy, it's the faith dichotomy. Jesus says, I will have a full and abundant life. He said, I will thrive. I'm in Him, living a life for Jesus. This dichotomy where you change, but things don't change. You're changing from the inside out. There's a work being done in you. But not anything else is changing. And so you find that you're facing the same habits that you had the day before you gave Jesus are the same habits that are right there. The same temptations that you were going through are the same temptations that are there. The same suffering and pain and illness and sacrifice that you were going through before Jesus is the same things you're going through with Jesus. In everything you do, put God first. You see, this dichotomy is only met when we believe this. I do all that I can do and He does all that He can do. And when I do all that I can do in His name, I believe that He's going to do the rest. That all I can do is to all can shunk and do. All I can do is get up in the morning and keep going, be faithful, try and open my eyes and rub the sleep from my eye and be faithful in what He's calling me to. And I believe that God will do the rest. And everything you do, put God first and He will direct you. He will guide you. He will lead you. He won't get you up off your butt and get you going. You need to get yourself going, and He directs you. He leads you. He guides you. I see some of you accept that. Others are like, I'm not too sure about that one. Here's what we need to realize. He will direct us, and He will crown our efforts with success. In other words, He will bless what you do. He will bless your work. In everything you do. You see, some of us, when we become Christians, we remove work because we believe that God has saved me by His grace. Yes, His grace saves you, but His grace is not the thing that's going to bring you to a place where what God has for you. His grace will sustain you. His favor will be poured out on you, but it also means that I got to do. Does this make sense? God says He's got plans and purposes for your life. His plans and purposes are not happening like that. His plans and purposes are found when you get up and you begin walking in the way that God has for you in His calling and His direction, and He directs you and leads you. And this is what I've found. God, I'm going to start walking. Boom. Failure. Rejection. Disappointment. And it comes to a place where I found when I face that, I remain in my despair. I become downcast. But as my faith has matured and grown, I walk and I face failure and rejection and disappointment. And I go, God, would you direct me? And I turn. God, I'm going to keep following you. God did not lead me towards failure. God was leading me here, but he allowed my failure to change me from the inside out. He brought me here so that I could go there. And now I'm here, greater and stronger because of that failure. He did a good work in me. Because what he started, he will bring to completion. God works all things together for his good. God does not make all things happen. It's a shift in our faith. Because we go, God, why did you let this happen? He said, I'm allowing you to walk. I'm allowing you to do, to be, to work. I will lead you and guide you through what you go through. See, he works all things together for his good. He works his failure in a way that leads you towards a place of favor, towards a place of success. See, in that search of contentment, as we just search after Jesus, we find contentment. So many of us are going searching for contentment that we miss Jesus, and we find out in receiving things that we were never meant to receive and have. We need to be led and directed by him, and he will bless what you do. So what does this look like practically? When we look deeper into the scripture and we look at the, there's different translations. So the Bible is written in both Aramaic, or Hebrew in the Old Testament. It's written in Greek, Koine Greek in the New Testament. And we take that ancient translation, and we've got different translations, the NIV, the NLT, the Living Bible, which we're reading from now, the Message translation. And each translation kind of gives us a different perspective on the words, the original words and the original meaning of the scripture. And the NIV translation says this: in all your ways, submit to him. In other words, acknowledge God first. Submitting to him, and he will make your path straight. He will direct your path. So submitting to him is saying, God, what is it you want for my life? Because see, the world tells us go after what you want. The word tells us go after what God wants. God, what is it you want for my life? I want to submit my every wish, my every want, my every dream, my every desire, my plans, my purposes. I want to give them to you and say, God, what is it that you want for my life? The New Living Translation says this: seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Just this week, I had this moment where I had to make a decision, make a choice. And in that moment, just pause and say, God, would you give me the wisdom? Would you give me the direction? Would you help me in making this decision? And then I made the decision. Now, was the decision right or wrong? I'll know in time. But regardless, I decide in that decision to put God first, give me the wisdom and discernment. And here's what I didn't do and don't do. Waiting so much and waiting for God to audibly do make the decision for me. So many of us are caught up in waiting for God to make the decision for us rather than stepping out and making the decision and believing that God is with us. And in time, as we make decisions, some decisions we make wrong, some decisions we make bad, but as each decision is made and we're continuously submitting him and seeking his will, we grow in our faith walk with Jesus, and slowly but surely we begin making wiser decisions, wiser choices. Wisdom doesn't happen in a moment. Wisdom happens in a lifetime. Wisdom does not happen with age. Wisdom happens with maturity. Maturity is often found in life experiences. That's why age is found to be where your experience is equated to your age. But what happens is it's by your experiences of disappointment and rejection and failure. That's often where wisdom is found. Because in that place, I submit myself to God. I seek his will for my life. And this is what the Message translation says. Listen for God's voice. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go, for he's the one who will keep you on track. The key to contentment is found in putting God first. How? By trusting the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. Trust in the Lord by submitting your ways to him, seeking his will for your voice. For your seeking his will for your life and listening to his voice. Already this year, 12 days have gone by. I have tried to figure it out. I have tried to sort it out for myself. I've taken on the burden and the weight of worry and stress because Sean has tried to figure it out. Now, in those moments, there have been many times where I've heard what I believe to be God's voice. As you continue to seek his voice becomes clearer. His voice is not that loud, audible voice. His voice is often described as a still, small voice, an inkling, a feeling, something that you become more attuned to. The more you listen to it, the more you hear it. And I've heard in that place, Sean, stop. Seek my will, and I will direct you. I will guide you. I will give you the wisdom. I will give you the discernment. Coming back to the place where you're listening for God's voice. And here's what I want to bring to you today as we conclude. What if we decided that rather than turning to anyone or anything, that we chose to turn to God first? That he was first, the first one that I turned to. The first one that I turned to when I need to make a decision, a direction, a choice. The first one that I turned to in every moment, every waking moment. That I'm seeking to listen to his voice. See, his voice can be found in prayer. His voice can be found in worship. His voice can be found in his word. His voice can also be found when you're in the car, stuck in traffic. His voice can be found in that 5 minutes that you get a break in the midst of the madness to sit down with a cup of coffee. His voice is found when you seek his voice. That's when his voice is found. His voice is found not when you get into a particular mode or a particular place or you walk into the temple of the presence of the holiness of God. That's his voice is where you seek him. His voice is found when you seek his voice. His voice is found. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek his will. Seek his ways in your life. Seek his voice. And all these things will be added to you. Everything that you've been looking for, searching for, desiring for, wanting. When you seek God, everything else will be added to you. Because you realize when you have God, everything else is extra. As we finish and conclude, these next 21 days of prayer and fasting, maybe you've never fasted before. Maybe you've never done anything for 21 days consecutively in a row. And we want this to be able to help you and guide you in this. And so we've prepared these devotional booklets. But also, I want to encourage you, you can decide to fast. And what fasting is giving up something in order to give more focus and attention to God. It's creating a hunger for God. See, often people think that hunger is going to give you an appetite for food when you're spiritual hunger. But a spiritual hunger comes when we give up those things that we think is going to bring us, fulfill our needs, but rather we're offering up our needs and seeking after God. And here's the thing, we become more full when we hunger after God. And so in these 21 days, you can decide to do a liquid fast. So, you know, you may still have soups, teas, coffees, whatever it is. You say for these next 21 days, or you may decide to fast until the evening, until you have an evening meal. Sometimes people fast until it gets dark. You may choose to fast one meal. And along with that, you may choose to fast technology and social media and TV. But whatever you choose to fast. And I encourage you, if you chose to fast one meal last time, choose to fast two meals this time. Stretch yourself. If you've never done a full fast, try it out. Jillian's doing a Daniel fast. It's where you just eat vegetables and fruit, and that's what you're doing. It's found in the book of Daniel. You can read more about that, find out more about that. But whatever you choose to do, right? Let's pause that for a second. What it's about is creating time and space in order to listen to God's voice. It's about seeking him. And what I want to encourage you is to every day, no matter what you fast, to spend time seeking after God. Because I believe that God wants to speak to you, all right? Receive that and accept that. If you believe that, God wants to speak to me. Therefore, I need to create space for God to speak to me. And maybe you're a person who loves to be out in nature and walking around and hearing from God in that way. Maybe you're someone who likes complete peace, or maybe you love madness and that's where you feel that God speaks to you. Me personally, I like to sit down and play some worship music, either from Spotify or Apple Music, And then just to grab out a pen and a journal and begin writing down a prayer. For me, I like to see things concrete. I'm a pragmatic person who likes to see if God is speaking to me, it's written down. That's what I like to do. I just write down what I feel God saying to me. I'm able to look at it, ponder it, turn back to it, read about it. I've got about 15 journals the last few years that I've been keeping that I look back on and read in God's voice, which I believe He's spoken to me, which encourages me in my faith. But no matter what way you do it, the main thing is that you create time to seek after God and to find His voice. Believing that if you seek me, you will find me. That if you seek after Him, you will find Him. My prayer for you in these next 21 days is that you will grow closer to God. That above all else, that your life will be more filled with Him. That your heart will be more filled with Him. Your life, your mind, everything about you will be more filled with Him. You will face temptation. 21 days, it's not like everything is going to be like rosy and it's going to be like supernatural. It's going to be so clear. I'm going to wake up. You'll probably be more temperamental. You'll probably be more angry and all these things. But it's about going through the process and by the end of it, believing that I'm closer to God. I encourage you, write down a prayer, a need, a desire, a want. For me, I'm going to be selfish in it. I'm like, I want to go after God. And I want to receive from Him. And these are the things that I want to see happen in my life. These are the things I want to see happen in my family, in my church. To go after. You got to write it down. You got to go for it. Seek for it. He says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. So right now, as we conclude, can we just close our eyes for a moment and just pause? And even think about that right now. What is it that you want? If you want a long and satisfying life, if you want a life of fulfillment and favor, what do you want? What is it that you want? What is it that you want in 2019? What is it you want simply maybe in the month of January, maybe in these 21 days, maybe all you want for the next 7 days? What is it you want? I want to give each of us an opportunity to put God first in this moment. To say, once again, Jesus, I want you to be first in my life. And what I'd love each of us to say this quite simple and short prayer is just say these words, Jesus, I'll put you first. I give you my life. I ask that you lead me and that you're Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.